Hey, well, today we're starting a new series, like I said, called Ducks in a Row, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I have to tell you that. We're not just talking about ducks in this series. We're talking about all different areas of our life where we need help with God or from God to get our ducks in a row. Have you ever noticed it's really tough when you think of our areas of our life like ducks, right? It's really hard sometimes to get our ducks in a row. See, we kind of focus on one area of our life, and then all of a sudden that duck kind of waddles out of place, and you're like, come on, you know, and then you get them in alignment again, and then another one walks out, and you got to give it more attention, and it's really hard in our lives to get our ducks in a row. Especially during this season of our life where it's kind of school is getting or is coming to a close, it's getting more busy for so many people, it's really hard to get our ducks in a row. In fact, let me invite some of my newest friends to kind of help you understand this in a really very real and I think fun way. So come on up, my newest friends here. Awesome. All right. So these are not fake. Awesome. Well, let's let our ducks out. They probably won't fly, okay? But we're going to just see what it's like to see how it is to get our ducks in a row. Ducks sometimes have an easier time than we do. Come on out, ducks. So, you know, this is kind of the way it is. Oh, yep, see, they try to get in a row. One of them falls off the stage in our life, right? Sometimes, these are just too funny. Now, tell me what kind of ducks these are again.
Ruins.
Okay. And then what are the other ones? White Pekings. And I told her, I said in the first service, I think I remember that name from Chinese restaurants, but we won't tell them that and everything. But see, here it is. Like, you get your ducks in a row, and it's like one of them falls out of place. You're like, come on, and you got to give it more attention. And the duck that kind of quacks the loudest is the one that so many times gets more attention than the others. These ducks are actually pretty good. They're used to getting in a row, but it's not true about our lives. And you know, sometimes it's messy to do that. Good thing they're not, you know, going to the bathroom everywhere over here. But sometimes it's like, oh, I spoke too soon. But anyway, it's one of those things where so many times it's difficult. It can get messy. It can get complicated to get our ducks in a row. In fact, let's give the ducks a hand for helping us out with this illustration and everything. And thank you all so much for helping with that. Eric, do you have training in this? This is the fun part where you really figure out if they know what they're doing. Oh. All right, Ashley, you want to help us out? Get our ducks in a row.
Come on, Ducky. Come on, Ducky.
things you never thought you'd see in church, right? All right, it's hard to get your ducks in a cage, right? So they're going to be out after the service so your kids can pet them and stuff like that. But this just demonstrates, I mean, it's messy to get your ducks in a row. I mean, it looked like they were doing good at first, right? They were all lined up, and I was lined up with them. My duck was in a row with them, and all of a sudden they start waddling off stage and all sorts of things. And it's like that in our life, isn't it? It's one of those things where so many times you think you got it together, and then the duck that's quacking the loudest gets the most attention, and you give that attention in your life, and all of a sudden another one's walked out of the way, and you get them in alignment, and it does it again. And we see this over and over and over. In fact, she was telling me earlier that ducklings, you know, baby ducks, they are very different than bigger ducks. In fact, they often try to remain together just like these bigger ducks did. But so many times they won't get in a row. They won't get in a row unless a big duck, the mama duck usually, jumps in front of it and shows them where to go. Because so many times they'll just wander aimlessly and one of them will get off track and the other ones will go with it. And so it needs the big duck to command them forward. And what's true about ducks is so true, I think, for our lives as well. Because as we look at all this so many times, just like that, it's one of those things where we need the big duck in our life, the big duck commander to be front and center. And when the big duck is front and center leading us in every area of our life, it can get every other area, bring peace in every other area into alignment. In fact, the big duck commander we're talking about today is our relationship with God. It's the big duck. He's the big duck. Now, you may hear me say that like if you focus on your relationship with God, then all the other areas of your life start to make sense and start to come in alignment. Not that it's always perfect, but you may hear that and say, well, my financial advisor tells me that if I get my finances in order, then my life will kind of all kind of make sense. Everything will kind of feel like I've got peace. You're a pastor. You're supposed to say God's first and all that stuff. In fact, you go to a counselor and they'll tell you if you just have peace in your relationships. If you work on your relationships, then it'll affect every area of your life. Or maybe your boss might be in your ear saying, if you just get your job done right, then it'll go well with you and your family, and maybe you'll get a promotion that I promised you a long time ago. It'll go well with you. But the thing I want to let you know is, instead of chasing ducks in your life, instead of chasing ducks and watching them waddle away over and over, I want to show you why it's so important not to just focus on the area of our life that seems most urgent. You know, the duck that quacks the loudest oftentimes gets the most attention. I want to show you why it's so important to focus on the big duck in your life, what's most important, and all the other ducks will fall into place, and that is your relationship with God. And so there's a good story in the Old Testament about a man named Jacob who experienced this whole ducks in a row reality in a very real way. And Jacob's story is incredible. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 25. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. The words will also be on the screen. But as we're doing that, let me set this up so you understand what's going on. Jacob was from an incredible family. You know, the duck commander family is one of those families that a lot of people look up to, you know, with Willie Robertson and Cy Robertson. But this was an incredible family in the Bible. It was Jacob's grandfather was named Abraham. You may remember Abraham. God blessed him and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Through you and through your family, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to all generations. That's pretty big stuff. And so then Abraham has a son named Isaac, and Isaac has the blessing of God on him, and the promise of God is passed down from Abraham to Isaac. And then Isaac has two sons named Jacob and Esau. And the thing that you have to know about Jacob and his life, even though he had an incredible family line, everything was kind of set up for him as far as the blessings of God, he was always wrestling in his life. He was always wrestling to get his ducks in a row and to kind of stay ahead of his brother. In fact, his brother was a twin. His name was Esau, like I said. And his twin brother, they were always wrestling and jockeying for position, even in the womb, so much that when Esau was born just moments before Jacob, Esau was born just moments. But Jacob was born grasping his little brother, his older brother's heel, you know, and you can just see this whole, like, I'm going to get out first, but he didn't. And the thing you need to know is it was kind of a big deal in the Old Testament to be born first. Now, they probably didn't know this when they were being born, but the reality was it was really important to be a firstborn male, because the firstborn male during biblical time got to be the leader of the family. That when a father would pass away, he would pass on, he would kind of become the leader of the family. And everybody who was connected to him, he would lead them. The oldest son would always get a double portion of the family inheritance. So if you've ever wondered, I'm the oldest kid, and my brothers and sisters always said, you get everything. This is kind of true in biblical times, right? Since they had two kids, the oldest son would get 2/3 of the share of the inheritance. Not fair. And the other one, the youngest son, should get 1/3 of the family estate after the father passed away. And so it kind of stunk to be the second child. And so you see why Jacob might have been grasping his brother. But Jacob was always wrestling to get ahead and get his ducks in a row, trying to jump ahead of his brother Esau, who was the oldest, who got everything, you know? And so I want you to check out one day, Jacob saw his opportunity to jump his duck ahead of his brother and to finally take his rightful place, even though he was the youngest kid. So check it out, Genesis chapter 25, starting with verse 29. And here's how the story goes. It says, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau, that's the older brother, came in from the open country famished. Now, the thing you need to know about Esau is he was an avid hunter, supposedly very good. Jacob was cooking the stew, and Esau went out trying to kill it, to bring it in. And so Esau said to Jacob, verse 30, quick, let me have some of that red stew. It's like, I'm the bigger brother. Give me your stew. I'm famished. That is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. And everybody who hears this story and knows about the birthright is like, the firstborn son gets double the inheritance. They get to be the captain of the family kind of thing, the leader of the family someday. That would have been the dumbest thing to ever do. All right, stew or the blessing of everything that I've been promised since I was born? It's like, doesn't make any sense at all. No one would ever, ever, ever do that. But check out what happens. Verse 32. It continues on. It says this. Look, Esau said, I am about to die. Yeah, now, this is kind of funny. I'm about to die. What good is the birthright to me? Now, if you've ever been so hungry before, you know that saying, I'm so hungry I could eat a cow, Or I could eat a horse. Or if you're a big animal lover and vegetarian, you could eat a big thing of broccoli. I'm so hungry, I could eat just a whole lot of food, right? This is kind of what he's doing. He's like, I am so hungry. I feel like I'm about to die. And you've heard this term, drama queen. This is like the Bible version of a drama king. It's like, come on. You're not going to die, really, over not having some food. And so he says, what good's my birthright? I'm about to die from food. Maybe you've been like this, or maybe you know somebody like this. But anyway, no pointing fingers. Here's what it says, verse 33. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. I mean, that sounds like a good deal. Like, here, I'll give you a little extra since I got that. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Now, this is the craziest thing, and I want you to let this sink in. He traded his birthright for a pot of red stew. He traded his birthright, like the ability to be like, have a double portion of the family estate, to be the leader of the family. He traded all that for a pot of red stew. And we look at this and we say, that's crazy. And no one would ever, ever, ever do that. Who would be so silly to make a decision like that? And I think what's true about Jacob and Esau, I think when we see this story, I think so many times in our lives, I believe we make the same decisions. Now, before you hang up, here's kind of what's happening. Like Esau, we so many times in our lives, we choose the immediate and we sacrifice the important. We choose the immediate and we sacrifice the important. In fact, so many times we focus our lives on the ducks in our lives that quack the loudest, right? And when it's quacking the loudest, we say, oh, I'm going to give this area more attention, and oh, I'll get back to this important stuff, but I've got to take care of this or else who's going to hold it all together? And we look at this and we hope to get our ducks in a row. But as we do this on our own and trying to sacrifice the important, we'll one day realize that without the big duck in place, we'll never have order and peace in our life. We need the big duck, our relationship to God, to step forward. And so the thing you need to know about Esau, Jacob wasn't any better. Jacob was still trying to jockey for position and connive to jump ahead of his brother. And so one time, a couple chapters later, Jacob knew that his father Isaac was a man who was exceedingly blessed by God. Remember Abraham and then Isaac, he had the blessing of God. In fact, so many times in Isaac's life, his father, he was a man who had so much favor from God that he was successful in everything he did. In his farming, in his riches, in he was protected by God. And Jacob saw this and said, I want that too. Wouldn't we all? But he was willing to do whatever it took, even if it meant deceiving his brother and his family in order to get it. So what did he do? One day the father, Isaac, yells out to Esau and says, I want to give you my blessing. I want to give my blessing on you and kind of pass down this, to you. And I think this is kind of the analogy. Have you ever seen somebody get knighted before? We don't see that today unless you go to medieval times, right? But this analogy of kind of this passing the torch, somebody being, I knight you, Steve, right? You are no longer Steve. You are Sir Steve a lot or whatever it is, right? All of a sudden, he's got the different kind of blessing and a different kind of position, right? Sorry to pick on you. If you want to stand like a knight, anyway. But the reality is, this is kind of what's happening. He's wanting the blessing of God to be passed on from his father to him instead of to his brother. And so he deceives his dad. He dresses, he puts sheep's fur on his arms and on his skin to make it think like it was his hairy brother, right? And his dad's eyesight wasn't very good, and Isaac passed down the blessing of God on his life. Not just did he have the birthright, but he blessed him, and he passed that down, the anointing of God on his life. And you can imagine that as Jacob's seeing this, he's probably thinking, well, finally, I've got all my ducks in a row now. I've manipulated. I've played my cards right. I've got everything that I would ever need. I've got the family share, or I've got the greatest share. I'm sitting in the captain's chair in the family, right? And now I have the blessing of God in my hands. What more do I need? I can just live life and just enjoy. But Jacob was a man who constantly lived with fear and anxiety. He lived with fear and anxiety because he always manipulated his circumstances in order to stay in control. Not because the thing you need to know, so many times in our lives, everybody's busy. All of us are busy, right? And the reality is Jacob wasn't any busier than anybody else. He wasn't any more stressed than anybody else. But so many times I've found that the way we respond and the what we experience is not what's happening around us in our surroundings, but what God is doing inside of us. So many times we sang "This is Amazing Grace" just a little bit ago, and it says, "Who brings the chaos back to order?" The thing I know in my life is that so many times we can have a whole lot of chaos in our life. There can be things spinning out of control all around us. But when we have God in the center of our life and in every area of our life, it doesn't mean we don't have to worry anymore, but it means that God can bring you peace in the middle of your chaos. And this is something that Jacob didn't have, because he was always trying to do it on his own. And so his life was built on his own ability to control and manage his circumstances. And I want you to think about this. He was scared his brother was going to come back and beat him up or kill him, right? For stealing all that. He was always afraid to trust God. Always afraid to trust God. In fact, there was one time a little bit later where he even tried to bargain with God. Maybe you've done this before. But God, if you do this, God, if you do this, if you show yourself in this way, then I'll move to Africa and I'll become a missionary. You know, something like that. Like, you know, cross your fingers, whatever. You know, maybe we do these like bargains with God sometimes. But the reality is, this is what he does. He says, God, if you protect me and if you provide for me, then I'll follow you. Then I'll let you lead my life and I'll trust you in every area. But the thing we see in Jacob is so true in our lives. When we're constantly working with our own effort to control the ducks in our life and to keep them in order, we'll always have this sense of fear and anxiety that one day we won't have what it takes to hold it all together. That one day, as we're trying to balance the cards of our life, something will knock it over and we won't have anything else to stand on, anything else to hold us up. And this is why God wants to be that lead duck, the duck commander in our life. And so here's what happens just a little bit later. Jacob's wrestling and wrestling. He was unwilling to surrender to God until one day God intervened. God pursued him, and he bumped into God in a very real way. Check it out, Genesis chapter 32. Very cool story here. Genesis 32, starting in verse 24. And here's what it says. It says this: so Jacob was left alone. Now we can just sit in this for a while. Jacob was left alone. I mean, he tried to do everything on his own. He was about to have a meeting with his brother, and he sent some gifts to him, like as a piecemeal, like, please don't kill me, please be happy with me. But he's left alone with nothing else to do. And so here's what happens. It says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Now I'm going to give you the punchline. This man is not a man at all. It's God himself. And he actually wrestles with God all night long. And this is, you'll understand it in just a minute. Here's what it says, verse 25. When the man, who is God, saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. Now this is God saying this. Why would God say, let me go? Is he not powerful enough and strong enough to overpower Jacob? No, this is not what's happening. What he's saying is, I need you to let me go, because in the Old Testament, if anyone were to look at God face to face, then they would die. It was the Holy One of Israel. And so as it's getting ready to be, the light's getting ready to be turned on in the sky, and he's saying, I need you to let me go so that you can be protected. You can't look at me face to face. And here's how it continues. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What an incredibly terrifying thing to say to God. I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. God, I need you in my life. He realized his dependency on God. And the man said to him, what is your name? Jacob answered, or he said, Jacob. And then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. He wrestled with God. Verse 29, Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he said, why do you ask me my name? Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Now, what do we make of this story? I think that one of the things we see about this, isn't it amazing how we have a God who is willing to do whatever it takes to pursue us? God was willing to go to Jacob, who was unwilling to surrender in any area of his life. I'm going to do it on my own. And finally, God says, well, I'm going to make you deal with your reality. I'm going to wrestle with you, and I want to make you realize who I am in the context of where you are. And I want to show you that I can be God in your circumstances. He wanted him to be closer. See, Jacob built his life on his ability to wrestle, his resources and his power and his relationships, until finally Jacob was forced to wrestle with God, to do business with God. And as Jacob wrestled with God all night long, it wasn't a physical struggle at all. In fact, I kind of envision kind of what happens almost every night at my house when I wrestle my 2.5-year-old son. We have a wrestling match every night. I feel like this is kind of similar to what's happening. Because when I'm wrestling with my son, we get on our queen bed and we jump around and I wrestle him and, you know, and all sorts of things. I'm stronger than him. It's like, come on, I could like push him over with a finger. I mean, you would hope, right? He's 2.5. But the reality is I wrestle with him, and sometimes I let him pin me, and then I'll turn him over and I'll pin him. And the thing is, I'm not trying to show him how powerful I am. I'm trying to wear him out. You know, he is like a bundle of energy. I'm trying to wear him out before he goes to bed. And so we wrestle and he grunts and he tries with all of his might, and I let him win sometimes and I win sometimes, but I'm trying to wear him out. And this is kind of what I think God is doing when he's wrestling with Jacob. It's like, I mean, he's God. He could like push him over with a finger, or he could speak and all of a sudden Jacob could hit the floor. You know, he's God. But the reality is, God isn't trying to show him that you're stronger than me or anything like that. What God's trying to do is trying to wrestle with Jacob until Jacob deals with his own stuff in his life. And he finally says, okay, God, I get it. I'm worn out in my own life and everything I've been doing, and I want to trust you now. That's what God does to Jacob. And I think sometimes what God wants to do to us. See, one day Jacob realized that all the stuff in his life, all of his sins and weaknesses, all of his failures in every area of his life, that he didn't trust God, that he couldn't live independently from the Lord anymore. It was one of those things where he wrestled with God and God showed him, I want to be the lead duck and I want to bring order to everything you've been trying to hold up on your own. You weren't meant to hold up everything in your life. I am the great I am who can hold you up. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. When's the last time you wrestled with God? I don't mean you had an arm wrestle with God, or, you know, like a rant with God, like, God, I don't have any food, like, you know, the brother did. But when's the last time you wrestled with God? When's the last time you let God do a work in you and really let God speak into your life? I think it's those moments of greatest weakness sometimes in our lives where God displays his greatest strength and does his greatest work. See, so many times in our life, we try to work on every area of our life. In fact, let's get the graphic up about this, the four areas of our life. So many times, this is the way we view our life. This is what makes up our life. And there's compartmentalized four equal ducks. And we try to work on one duck, like, you know, work on my relationships, now I'll work on my relationship with God, now I'll work on my work world, and oh, my finances are getting out of whack, I got to drive harder in this area. And the reality is, for all of us, there's usually one duck that needs more work. Right? There's usually one duck that's maybe bigger in our life that we need to work on a little bit more. But so many times we view it like this, and our ducks get out of order. But a more accurate thing that Jacob found that God wants us to find is more like this. The big duck is God, our relationship with God. And instead of it being like, God, I'll work on my work world, then I'll work on my relationship with you, it's this. It's God working in my work world. God wants to work in my finances. And God wants to work in my relationships and in every area of our life. God wants to be in all and be Lord of every single area, if we'll let him. And as we see this, as we realize all of this, you know, the goal isn't, how do I get better in every area? How do I manipulate my circumstances? But how can I allow God to be the duck commander in every single area? There was one time in Genesis chapter 17 when God spoke to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. And he told him, how you can do this? How do you put God first? What does that even mean? What does this look like to let God lead in every area of your life? And here's what God said to Abraham. And I think he would say to us, he says this, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. See, no matter with what he was calling him to do, he reminded him, I'm Lord. I'm the great I am. I'm the one who can give you power to do anything that I call you to. And he says this, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Another translation says, walk with me faithfully and be blameless. Or another word for blameless is, be whole, be complete, be acceptable in my eyes. See, as we walk closer to God, we find that God brings order and makes us whole in every area. And so many times that when we're looking at certain areas and say, God, I can't hold this up. I can't do this. I can't. God wants to show us that He is the great I am in every area of our lives. That means we seek God first in every decision. God wants to seek Him first in every circumstance. God wants us to seek Him first in our finances, in our relationship, in everything in our life. And I think what that means is, it means that when instead of going to Cy Robertson, instead of going to the peanut gallery and saying, what am I supposed to do in this circumstance? Sometimes it means we go to God first. We go to God in prayer and we say, God, what do you want me to do? And we listen to how God wants to speak. And we say, well, I don't even know what God's going to say. Another way we can do that is to get in the Word, to read God's Word and say, God, what does your Word tell me I need to do here? How do you speak into my life in this kind of way? Or so many times we can worship our way in the middle of a circumstance. And we're reminded in the middle of that, that God is the God Almighty over everything that we face, and He can be Lord of all. And so one of the things Tyler Gardner we were talking about this message on Monday, and one of the things he said that I thought was so profound, he said, when we grow an inch closer to God, when we grow just an inch closer to God, it's more valuable than a mile of growth in any other area of our life, because it affects it all. And so the question I want to leave you with this week, I want you to think about and pray through, is this: where are you going to put your faith and your trust? Not like just what we say we do, but where are you going to put your faith and your trust really? Are you going to put it in your ability to manage everything and to hold it together, in your independence to control it all? Or are you going to be willing to be fully dependent on Him in every single area of your life, to let God walk first and to be the duck commander in every single area? Are you going to be willing to put your faith and your trust in the only one who can hold you together? So as we prepare our hearts for this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for stories like Jacob that remind us of who we are and whose we are. God, we thank you for the way that you worked in a man like Jacob, who was wrestling and wrestling, always trying to control and manipulate his circumstances in order to get ahead. God, there's some of us in here who are dealing with that reality. Or maybe there's things in our circumstances that just haven't been going the way we wanted them to go, and we just feel like we've got to just press harder and just take over this whole thing. But God, I just pray that in the middle of all this, that in the middle of our situations and our circumstances, in the middle of our areas where we struggle, where we fall, and even areas that are going well, that you want to be Lord. You want to be the captain of every single area. And God, I just pray for all of us in here, that there's probably many of us in here who are saying, there's areas in my life where I've trusted you, God, but there's certain areas where I've been walking on my own, and I've waddled out of place so many times, and I do it over and over and over. And I want to invite you today to be willing to say, God, I want to trust you in that area, to take a step of faith instead of waiting and saying, God, if you do this, then I'll trust you. To be willing to say, God, I'm going to trust you. And as I step out in faith in that area of my life, or even in all of my life, as I step out in faith, show me that you're faithful. God, I pray for some of us in here. There may be somebody in here that says, I've never stepped across the line. I've never put my faith and my trust in Jesus. I don't have a relationship. And I want you to know you can start that today. God has given us grace and just invites us to accept it. And if you want to accept God's grace and enter into a relationship with Jesus today, maybe you would pray something like this, right in your seat, and God will hear your prayer. God, I know I need you in my life. God, that ducks out of row is my life. God, I've been trying to manage and manipulate and control all the pieces, and things just fall. God, I need your help. I need you in my life. God, I want to invite you to be the captain of my life, to be the commander of my life, the Lord of my life. And God, I pray that you would help me every day to allow you to be Lord and to lead me in every area. God, I pray you would save me of my sins, and today I want to step forward into a relationship with you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.